Okay. You ready, Louise?
Yep.
Okay, I'll call this meeting to order at 7:07. And do we have a flag? There's Mark's flag. Shall we? We should stand really to say the pledge. Okay, everybody standing. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
And to the republic for which it stands,
one nation,
under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. And could you please take the roll, Louise?
Ma'am, Mr. Bowers? Mr. Bowers?
He's not here.
Not here.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Butler?
Present.
Thank you. Mr. Carlone?
Present.
Mr. Capullo?
Present.
Mr. Forte?
Present.
Mr. Gray?
He's not here.
No.
Mr. Malerba?
Here.
Ms. Pertoso?
Here.
You, Mr. Pilastro?
Here.
And Ms. Sepchik?
Here.
Okay, you have a quorum.
Okay, thank you, Louise. Are there any additions, deletions, or corrections?
Yes, Madam Chair. This evening we are adding, or since it's a regular scheduled meeting, we're adding three items.
Okay.
The first item is a result of a Board of Aldermen motion that passed at their last meeting, modifying the building official's salary line item. And creating a new one.
Okay.
The second one is, again, with the Board of Aldermen action taken at their last meeting, moving the $4,000 we have for the Payton Fieldhouse attendant that the boat parked in special working balance during the budget process. They're now ready to proceed with that, so we need to move it out.
Okay.
And the third item was a library grant, unanticipated revenue, and we're looking to increase the expenditures and the revenues to offset each other, but it is non-tax money. It is a grant from the governor. Called Library Everybody Learn Grant.
Okay. And those then would be the items that are in position 10, 11, and 12 on our new agenda, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so do I hear a motion to accept these additions to the agenda?
I'll make the motion, Sam.
Second by Sam.
I'll second it.
Second by Jim. Yeah. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. Anything else to do to the agenda tonight?
Not that I, the town clerk, have, ma'am.
Anybody else? Anything? Okay, we will close that. We don't have minutes from last time to approve.
Public portion is next.
Well, yeah, but wouldn't there be minutes somewhere? I see no minutes anywhere.
I think it was just an omission. It's not on, but we'll make a note to put September's and October's on for next meeting. Sorry.
Okay, that's fine. No problem. Is there anybody here from the public who wishes to speak? Anybody at all from the public?
Madam Chair, I respectfully request a few minutes, please. Gary this Parker.
Gary Parker, okay. State your name and address.
Gary Parker, Fire Commissioner for City of Derby, 38 North Cole Lane, Ansonia.
Okay.
Thanks for everything the board does as a general statement, but I'm here tonight just to bring the board up to speed on development in the fire department that I just wanted to make you aware of. I've been in contact with Keith on requesting a carryover for the previous year's budget, so it will probably have something, I assume, in the next month or so for that, a request. But in the last few weeks, we discovered a rather major issue with our aerial ladder truck in the fire department. It's going to require repair. I don't have a number yet for what that repair will be. However, I do expect it to be rather in the $10,000 to $20,000 range. I'll have a better idea in the next week or so. I just wanted to bring the board up to speed on that. If it were much more than that, we'll probably be looking to, we'll probably need some help in the, our fire department budget. Again, I think with carryovers, we may be able to address those. So I just wanted to, my purpose for meeting or presenting to you tonight is to bring you up to speed on that. So it doesn't come as a surprise when we make the presentation and when I have the more firm details and costs involved.
Okay, we appreciate the heads up.
Okay, thank you.
Is there anybody else from the public who wishes to speak? Anybody else? Okay, I'm gonna close the public portion. We'll do the minutes next time, like Mark mentioned. So I will give the floor to Mr. McLiberty to talk about his dashboard and key indicators. And that was one of the handouts, right?
Correct, ma'am. There was a narrative report. There was the budget summary. And then it was the key indicator, which is an Excel portrait type page.
Mm-hmm.
So first,
Mr. Finance Director, do you want me to share that?
Sure, if you could. That'd be great. Thank you, Mr. Town Clerk. As the Town Clerk's bringing up the dashboard, you do have my written report, which has a narrative on recent activities and some things we'll talk about tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But the dashboard is in the early stages of the fiscal year, so we don't have a lot of state revenue in. If you see on the revenue side, our taxes, though, is actually a phenomenal number. I also submitted in the packet the tax collections through the October 1 date. And what we're finding, despite our concern with COVID and the fact that the town made adopted the executive order that allowed people to defer their motor vehicle and real estate taxes to 10-1, our property taxes collected through what theoretically is July 1 got extended to 10-1. Our real estate is just about at 50, just about 50%.
A little over, actually. Yeah.
Which is spot on, which is exactly where it should be. So we're not feeling the pinch yet in real estate from COVID or the downturn in the economy. Where you see a little downtick is in the personal property. Normally 100% of that is collected on by 10-1. We're at 95%. So that one's just slightly below where it should be. And motor vehicle is above where it should be at this point, in that we're collecting 61.26%, and we could really be at 50%. So
I think we want to be on a different sheet.
No, I'm just giving you a backdrop of the indicators. We'll get to that one.
If you look at, that's the right sheet, Judy. If you look at the last column, that's where the percentage is.
No, I've got these people on top of it. I got to get rid of my people here somehow.
Mark, will you give me a copy of that tomorrow?
It's in the packet.
I don't have the packet.
It was with the email.
So the key here is that when we deferred or we accepted that executive order to allow payments by 10-1, you know, we had some concern. We were solid on a cash flow basis. We weren't concerned about the cash coming in. We just didn't know what we really would collect by 10-1. Looking at these numbers, short of the personal property, which is just shy about 4.9% of where we should be, everything else is spot on. Motor vehicle is a little higher than we normally would be, and taxes are just 0.5% below where we would be. But there was a payment that came in after 10-1 from a bank that we're fine. So this is great news, and it continues the constant fact that Derby taxpayers pay their taxes, they pay them on time, and we collect that 98 to 99% every year. So this is spot on. So again, compliment to all the taxpayers and to the tax office for processing this. Mark, I'm going to go to the sheet before that, the indicators, key indicators. It's a spreadsheet, Excel spreadsheet has 10 areas. Okay, so this is the key indicator report we give you every month. Again, it's early in the fiscal year. Property taxes, as you see there, we received $16.3 million. The police outside wages is just the result of all the work. Frontier's doing work. Eversource is doing work. There's a tremendous amount of work being done in the streets. So that's why the received to date is slightly above our own budget. And we're only one quarter into the fiscal year. The Board of, on the expenditure side, Board of Education, those are just the 3.6 is the transfers we made to date. That'll start to uptick now for the October report because they have the September bills. And the health insurance will start to uptick now because we're starting to make now the monthly payments in October through June. So there's no alarms yet on the monthly indicators from revenue or an expenditure side at this point. As a side note, ma'am, one of the things that when the capital planning meets, should Chief Parker have a harder number, that could be something that could be put into the capital plan for this fiscal year. But that's, I'm just adding that as a footnote. So if the number is higher than what his budget could absorb, we have a place to accommodate it. That is an update on the dashboard and the taxes collected.
Looks good. Anybody have questions at this point on any of these, what it means? Guess we're good for keep on going.
Okay. So the only thing with the Board of Education is, if you recall, one of the findings in the management letter was the lack of a double entry accounting system being used on all accounts and all funds. We're down to one remaining account with the Board of Ed that they're going to establish a double entry accounting system for, and that's the state grants that come in. If you recall, that was something we transferred over to them last year with the understanding that they would give us monthly reports and they would use their financial software to track revenue and expenditures. That's the last item Mr. Izzo is working on at this point. I'm really pushing the hope to have that for you so you would get that part of your monthly in the November report. So it's on our radar. We talk about it every couple of weeks when we meet. And the auditor is helping establish that so that we could cross off that open item.
So is that all grant money for the schools is going to go directly through them and then they'll report back to us? All we pay them then is the part that we've added in is our portion?
Well, we also give them the excess cost. That's the special ed over the 4.5 times per pupil expenditure. That comes to us and we give them that. They keep the Title I money, the food service money, the lunch program, the alliance money, and then they have to give us a report on that. So we're trying to get that report from them so that could be submitted monthly with our report. We don't control that money per se, Judy, but we want to be aware of what's going there and what they're spending it on.
Do we have any indication yet how the school budget is being affected with all the COVID, with all the different things they're having to do? Are they in distress? Are they just pretty much handling it because some things are less, others are more? Is it balancing out or what's your feeling for that, Keith?
We have not heard the word distressed, ma'am, but what they do have a bunch of expenditures, a large amount of expenditures that they recently did that we're going to submit to the state for reimbursement. Once I get those and can quantify a hard number, I'll tell you. Right now, there's adequate COVID reimbursement to cover it. The distress will come if things were expended, items were had expenditures that do not fall under the reimbursement. And then to the amount, how great that is, we don't know at this point. So should the state or the feds modify the reimbursement, then there could be a hard hit to the budget. But right now, they're relying and we're relying on reimbursement. From the city side, we probably spent about between $50,000 and $60,000 so far for COVID enhancements. My understanding is they're in a couple hundred thousand range. So if there's no reimbursement or the reimbursement gets modified, we will know very quickly, and then we will put it on the radar right away. But I'm not hearing distress at this point.
And we haven't had any effect on our medical. We haven't had any COVID claims, people.
The COVID claims you have, really, there's no one that's been hospitalized that has hit the stop loss yet. The COVID claims that have happened are doctor visits. So they're like normal doctor visits, and then they're home and utilizing their sick days.
Okay.
But no one's hit the stop loss, thank God, or has required ventilators or hospitalization for any extended period.
Okay. So you think, is it fair to say then that the city, from a financial standpoint, has not been greatly affected by all this?
I would say from a financial standpoint, we have not been greatly affected, and we have enough funds to cover the city COVID and the Board of Ed COVID expenses, or we'll be seeking reimbursement on. So it has not impacted us yet.
Okay. Has it impacted the city, the fact that we've had the COVID? Has that caused the Johnson Controls to even slower, and then that's an ongoing thing?
The Johnson Control did have a schedule setback for a couple reasons. One was the solar panel resolution. The state did not approve it till later in the game, and they were not able to get into the schools as quickly as they wanted to, given the schools were shut down and locked down. So there is a time delay. The only financial impact that's going to hurt, we're going to feel, and we were feeling it already, is that the solar panels and the generation of electricity from those panels is now kicked out to the right further. So there's that contract has reimbursements for penalty or damages, and we are now in the damage period where we can gain penalties, financial penalties that they pay us for lost savings. So that will help make up the delay that resulted from the solar panels. A COVID delay, and this is where you get into threading a needle. The COVID delay is really an act of God or Mother Nature, and you can't really get a penalty claim for that. Right. But the panels themselves, we're going to get a claim on.
Okay. So we're probably for the budget this coming year, hopefully we're not going to have another big bunch that we have to put together for them, you think?
I'm hoping not, ma'am. You know, I would say in December, we're going to have a good hard number as to how much the delay is costing us. And then I think we have to pursue it, because this contract has gone on, too long, and the delay now is not on us.
Okay. Maybe that's something we could also track monthly, just have some indicator on there. I don't know if that makes any sense or not, but that's kind of scares me more than a lot of this stuff, because everything else is kind of covered, but that's so much.
I think once it's installed, we could track it. But remember, there's nothing even in the ground yet to generate any kind of kilowatt comparison from the engineer estimates to the actuals. But I think that's fair. This is a big contract. You know, you were paying $400,000 a year.
Yeah.
You better see that savings. And a lot of times, this is my own opinion, but I've seen it in other places. These contractors sign these deals, they go away, and they know people aren't going to track the savings. I think we have to be very aggressive in tracking the savings to make sure they hit the bogeys that they promised us. Otherwise, we're just throwing money away. You know, there's two parts to this. One is getting the energy efficient infrastructure and paying for it over time. But the second is getting the savings they promised us. And many, many districts do not do the quarterlies the way they should to hold the contractor's feet to the fire. So I think that's something we have to do. And I think even, they update the alderman now during the construction phase, but I'm even going to be so inclined, Judy, that maybe we put them on the tax board quarterly once the panels are in and make them present to a board what the savings they promised and what they're delivering. And then it's in the record and the minutes so that when we, all of us are away or move on, this is documented. And plus people, when they know they have to report to a board, the game stop, right? People mm-hmm. know you're coming in 3 months, you better be ready, you know? Yeah. So I think that's something that is best we do so the board is fully apprised of this, of the savings, because it's, like I said, it's half a mil each year. We're going to put in that budget for the next 20 years.
Yep. Yeah, we don't get any savings and we just have fancy electricity.
Yep.
Okay. Did we ever get any money back from the school, from the middle school, from the turbines? Did we ever make any?
Well, the savings there is, it's really not a hard savings. It's a soft savings in that the amount of electricity used by the high school to fire up gets reduced because you're supposed to turn the middle school on first. That microturbine is gas powered. It sheds electricity as heat as it's offset. That electricity goes to the high school. So when they fire the high school up second, it doesn't draw as much from the grid as it's supposed to. They paid for a dashboard so we could see what that is, but that's just really a cost avoidance. The savings would be in the reduction in electricity for the high school.
Okay. Anybody have any questions for Keith on any of the?
Yes, Keith. You can hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. A minute ago, it's you said that the school with their COVID was they spent $50,000 already, and they were
$100,000. Is that what? I said the city spent $50,000.
Oh, the city. Okay. And how much more do we need? You said $100,000 more.
No.
I'm asking the question.
Yeah, the answer is no. I don't know what we need from the city, Chris, in that what we put up so far with the shields and the windows in City Hall, the PPE gear that we've gotten, we're in a good spot. Now, if there's other enhancements that have to be done to the buildings or like at your place of work or whatnot, that will be above and beyond what we spent so far. So we don't know. I don't know what it's going to be like, because for example, when I gave a number in July, that number didn't think of the windows that were put in the first floor to accommodate, you know, the tax collector, the town clerk, and the building department. So as we go through this virus and we do enhancements to continue to provide services, there's new costs that come. So those windows were not in our projection. So there may be something else coming in the next 2 or 3 months, Chris, as the numbers skyrocket, that we have to do that are not in that $50,000. So we will need more money, just how much and for what, I do not know at this point in time.
I see, okay.
Yeah, it's just not going away.
I didn't hear you the first time.
No problem. It's just not going away, you know?
Yeah, I understand that, yes.
Anybody else? Does this include then, Keith, number 7, your update on the reconciliation with the Board of Ed? Yes, it does.
That's where I was talking about the grant account, and there's one account left that they still have to establish double entry accounting on.
Can we ever expect to have a report from the treasurer? Is that just not going to ever happen because it's not in the charter, or? Like, you know, you used to, I mean, now you're reporting to us as the finance director.
I don't know if he's going to give you a report. I do know he and I do talk, and we interact on tax collection and other activities. So he, you know, we are working on things. I can't address the report. I don't think it's required. If I recall, the last position was it's not required. So he was going to bring back the treasurer to what duties were required. Mm-hmm. But we are working on a number of open items that we're in constant contact about.
How's our credit rating looking? Is it updated?
It'll be updated the next time we go to bond market. And if you recall, we only have a couple more note sales that we're going to do to get the balance of some of the sewer money, because the sewer projects are kind of slowing down. So the next time we go to bond market, we'll go for a reaffirmation of the rating we have or an upgrade. The long-term plan was not to do that, for at least 2 years till our fund balance got to a positive position and towards that 5 to 7% range. So we'll do, if we need any funds for the sewer project or roads, we'll do note sales until we're in a position and a solid footing that we could go to the market with a positive, credible fund balance.
Okay. Very good. So anything else you have, Keith?
No, ma'am. That's it for now.
Okay, so let's move on to our Derby Youth Service Bureau, and I believe that had its own little attachment.
Well, that attachment came subsequent, so I
it did not. It came with this new updated budget, yeah.
Yeah, I did not. Agenda. I did not see that. I don't think that's the proper form to use. But apparently, what we originally had intended was we wanted to carry over two line items from the 1920 fiscal year into the 2021, and those two were on the agenda. One in the amount of $13,769 and the second in the amount of $20,391. And just the communication right before the meeting, I believe Mr. Sacky said some number changed. So I don't know what that is. So I have to defer to Mr. Sacky, and I apologize. This should have been vetted before the agenda went out.
Okay. Before you say anything, John, let me get a motion on the table and then you can go over stuff with us. Okay. Except I don't know what the amounts are. So go ahead, John.
Okay. First of all, I apologize to Keith. I didn't see him today in the office, and I had a sense of urgency to just make sure this was correct, because there was one line item, and on the budget page, the reason I included this is it's just for an explanation, is all. And yeah. It's all good news because it's all more money coming in, but. It says on the 0468 budget code, it says the enhancement dollars on the explanation. Now on that page, that latest page, it's $8,588. Now, what happened with this COVID thing is that that line item is usually around $5,000. And the state, and the youth bureaus are now under DCF, not SBE. So the state was unsure about how much they were going to allocate that line item. But I just found out, and apologize to Keith again, but I just found out this afternoon that line item is now gone to $8,588, not $5,000. So I wanted to clarify that. Everything is correct concerning the carryover. It's just that I just wanted to make sure that I explained that $8,588 was the increase, and along with this $3,900 prevention grant that I was just awarded and just received the check a couple of days ago. So I just wanted to make sure I explained that, and I did the carryover, which is the carryover item plus those two items is the number that's on the total on the right side for that one line item. And I just wanted to offer that as an explanation. I've had some really good grant years these last two or three years, and a lot of my expenses, I was not able to expense some things once COVID came. So that's why the carryover is a little larger this year. And that's all I wanted to explain. It's all good news.
Okay, so thank you, John. So am I correct, Keith, that we are proposing bring back from last year, from the 9200-460-0460, $13,769.
My understanding is those two numbers, from what I hear John just say, are correct.
The 13769. So we're bringing that from last year out of the 460, the 460, 0460, and we're bringing it into the same account now for this year. And that's mental health, correct?
That's correct. My understanding.
Correct. That's part A?
Yes.
Okay. So remember this, people, when I say, can I hear a motion? Because this is what you're going to make a motion. And then we have the 460-0468, which is the $20,391. Same thing, bringing it from last year, right? Into the same account. That's the youth service program, correct?
That's my understanding that remains the same, too.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, so I need a motion to roll down, roll up, I don't know, roll over, two amounts from last year from the Youth Service Bureau account, one being from account 460460 for $13,769, and the other one being $20,391 coming from the 9200460460. Do I hear a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Motion by Chris.
Second by Rob.
And that was Rose?
Yes.
Okay, so I have a motion by Chris, second by Rose. Any other questions on this? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. Thank you, John.
Thank you so much for your time. And Keith, thanks for your time. I appreciate
no
it.
No problem, pal. Anytime.
Then we have a request from the building official to transfer $200 from petty cash to supplies. This is a big deal here. Let's just go right into it. Do I hear a motion to transfer $200 from the building inspector 6100-150-0150 petty cash account to his 6100-310-0310 supplies account?
So moved.
I'll make the motion.
Who said first?
Rob.
Rob. So Rob, motion by Rob Rose, can you be a second?
Sure.
Before we do this, wouldn't, since it's petty cash, you can't just take money out of petty cash to like buy some supplies and then...
Well, you really shouldn't. I know sometimes logic shouldn't prevail, Judy, right?
I'm sorry.
So if he's buying supplies from a vendor or whatnot, it should go through the purchase order system.
Okay.
The petty cash would be like an emergency or, you know, it's a $5 item, they need to run to the store. But this is to properly book any expense out of the supply line.
Okay, perfect. Anybody have any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. Now we have, this is a little bigger. So we also have a request to transfer $25,364 from their 6100-110-0110 building official wages. Is this like the head building official wages? To the 6100-120-0121 ZEO.
Whoa. Zoning Enforcement Inland Wetland Officer.
There we go. The ZOEWO part-time wages. Let's get a motion on the table, then we can kind of go through what this is about.
I'll make the motion.
Motion from Sam? I hear
second. I'll second that. Brian Cole here seconds that.
Second, okay. Brian seconded it. So this was part of the thing you were saying that they're from the Board of Aldermen, Keith?
Correct, ma'am. So the background to this is the Board of Aldermen at their last meeting, I think it was the 8th, maybe, yeah, it was a week ago Thursday, made a motion to modify the building officials' wages to $60,000 and transfer the $25,364 and create a new position, a part-time position, for the zoning enforcement officer / inland wetland officer. The discussion went from the building official used to do those other two duties. He resigned from them. So the alderman's action was to catch up the wages with the resignation from those two tasks. So they
were just splitting it out then.
Correct, ma'am. Correct.
And who would be doing the other
parts? Have not hired anyone yet. So they're going to do that next. They're going to pursue it. But they did make a motion to reduce the one line and create the new line. So tonight, the tax board action is catching up with that motion. They will pursue how to handle ZEO and IWO duties, but that no one's been hired yet, ma'am.
Okay, and that's going to be a part-time position, so we're not going to have any medical and...
Correct.
All this stuff. Okay. All right, well, that makes sense. So we have a funded mandate this time. It's got something new, kind of nice. Okay, anybody have questions on this?
Judy, quick question.
Sure.
Since there's no one hired yet, should this go to the special working balance, this money?
No.
Their motion actually included the title of the position. And if you go to special working, Carlo, and they try and hire someone, it would then require a board meeting to move it out. This is just putting in there so there's no stopper if they find someone.
So okay. This is something they're not going to move on right away, right?
Yeah, because there's no one doing those duties now.
Okay. Yeah, because Carla, when we do that, it's usually because there's this future position. We don't even know when they're going to start hiring for it. So when it's this immediate, I think, yeah, we could just go right into that new positions account. If they don't use it by the time we get into a budget situation, obviously, then we might want to move it there instead. Does that sound good?
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you, Carla. Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. All right, now we got the Payton Field House. So we had this $4,000 in the special working balance because they had already approved to have an attendant at that time, right, when we did the budget?
They did not have the attendant, so that's why we moved it to special working balance. Now okay. they're going forward with the attendant now, ma'am.
Okay. And you verified that because I know on the budget we did, we had a special column for the special working balance.
And this $4,000 was in there.
Okay. So do I hear a motion to transfer $4,000 from our special working balance, 8400390319, to, and is this a new account?
No, this account was in there. You had $1 in it.
Okay. So transfer that to the Payton Fieldhouse account, 5200110012 attendant wages. So your motion.
So moved. So Jim? Moved, Madam Chairman.
Okay. Motion by Jim.
I'll second it, Rose.
Second by Rose. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. Library, this is the outside money coming in, it's just kind of passing through, right?
Correct, ma'am. This is an ask for, since we have a new grant coming from the governor. We want to increase the revenue by the 29111, and then of course, we had that library grant line in the budget, then someone wanted it out. This is why I wanted to leave it in. So we just want to put this line back in the budget for the 29111, the 5,500, 360, 3,600.
So you were right.
But we knew something was coming.
Okay. So do I hear a motion to increase our revenue side, 5,500, 360, 3,600 library grants by $29,111 and to balance the accounts, also increase our expenditure side, 6,000. 690 7006. I think I have that opposite. The revenue side is the 6,697 library grants, and the expenditure side is the 5,500 360 3,600. Okay, so good. We're increasing both of those on each side by $29,111. Do I hear a motion?
I did a form of motion. So moved.
Who was that?
Carlo.
Carlo made a motion and.
Second.
Seconded by Rob. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Anything else from anybody? Okay. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Motion by Jim.
Second by Rose.
Second by Rose. All in favor?
Hi.
This meeting is adjourned at 8:46.
Have a good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Everybody.